The Conservative Political Action Conference starts today, and while the convention brings together big names from the right, including former President Donald Trump, it's missing a behemoth of influence, commentator Rush Limbaugh. He died earlier this month after decades on the air, and his legacy remains. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. We're talking about what Limbaugh did for, with, and to politics. And we want to hear from you. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. What do you think of the influence that Rush Limbaugh had on the GOP and our country? Do you see it today? Do you think anyone will be able to fill the void in the conservative movement that Limbaugh left? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Nicole Hemmer is a political historian at Columbia University who wrote Messengers of the Right, Conservative Media, and the Transformation of American Politics. Nikki, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Prominent conservative media that we have today, it didn't exist when Rush Limbaugh's show became nationally syndicated back in 1988. How did he pave the way for the conservative media that we have now?
So one of the things that Rush Limbaugh did was he found a way to make conservative media both very popular and very profitable. So there had been like conservative magazines and little conservative radio shows, but there had never been anything like this multi-million dollar industry that he pretty much created. He had the sort of the space alone for the better part of a decade. It wasn't until 1996 that Fox News comes along. It's not really until 2000 that you start to get people like Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck who are doing the same thing on radio. And so he had this outsized influence not only on conservative media, but on the conservative movement more broadly. You know, we talk a lot today about the closeness between Fox News and the former Trump administration. Well, Rush Limbaugh had that very close relationship with conservative administrations going back to George H.W. Bush in 1992.
What was it about Rush Limbaugh that was different than other media personalities beyond being able to make money off of talking about these things?
So he pioneered a kind of political entertainment that would become one of the most central ways that people, not only conservatives, but people throughout the U.S. consume politics. He was somebody who came from a disc jockey background. So he had been in a non-political space for a long time before coming over to become a political commentator. And then he was also a pretty conservative commentator in a shock jock politics kind of way. And that was something that was pretty new and people responded to. They didn't necessarily love him. A lot of people were pretty angered by what he said, not only because it was so brash and so rude, but it was racist and sexist and homophobic. And that strong reaction would increase his popularity and would be sort of the platform that he built on over the course of his 32-year career.
And that perspective that included racism and sexism, that was something that it's not like that's how he spoke in the 90s and then he changed his tone by any means. I mean, this was how he communicated until he was done broadcasting when he died.
Yeah, I mean, people often talk about this as though it is a feature of his early show that he changed from. But I mean, just look at Rush Limbaugh during the Obama years. You know, he played this song at the beginning of his show in 2008 and 2009, this satirical song called Barack the Magic Negro. He was involved in a controversy in 2012 where he called a young woman who had testified for contraceptive access a pretty derogatory name and demanded that she release a sex tape to pay the American people back for paying for her contraception. So he had been in that mode of political rhetoric throughout his career.
Mm-hmm. Nikki Hemmer is a political historian at Columbia University who wrote a book about conservative media and American politics. And we're talking about the legacy of Rush Limbaugh and what the connection is now between the conservative politicians and political movement and the people who believe in these ideals and the media that feeds them. You can join us at 800-642-1234. What do you remember about Limbaugh, or do you listen to conservative talk radio now? Do you think that this is a marketplace of ideas, or do you think that Limbaugh and conservative radio have further polarized our country for the worse? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can also use the email address. It's ideas@WPR.org. Since Limbaugh began his national show in the 80s, we've seen that rise of digital media platforms. Nikki, what do you see as the driving force in today's conservative media? Because it's not as straightforward as it used to be.
That's right. Like I said earlier, when Rush Limbaugh came on the scene, not only had he pioneered a new form of radio programming, he helps to breathe new life into the AM dial, which had been kind of dying on the vine in the 1970s. He not only does that, but he creates this new right-wing media industry. And we've seen that flourish and fracture in so many ways over the past three decades. So it's cable news now, not just Fox News, but Newsmax and OAN. There are now tons of podcasts in addition to all of these terrestrial and satellite radio shows. And of course, the digital space for conservative media and right-wing media has grown exponentially over the past 15 years. And so where Limbaugh sort of had a sole voice for the better part of a decade, now there are so many competitors. There are so many places that people can look for their particular variety of right-wing media consumption. So finding the host who most speak to their ideas, to their emotions, finding the sites that most reflect their worldview, there now is just kind of endless product for people to consume depending on what they're looking for.
Endless product, but also seemingly endless personalities. We see more people trying to be, the next Rush Limbaugh. Do you recognize any media figures that you think could create that stature for themselves in conservative media?
So I don't think so, at least at this moment. There certainly are right-wing media personalities who loom large in American culture. Sean Hannity had this big moment during the Trump administration because of his closeness to the president. A lot of people are talking about Tucker Carlson as somebody who might have a crossover career in American politics. But precisely because there are so many, it's really difficult for any one voice to break through for long. So if you look over the course of the past 10 to 15 years, there are people who have moments. Like Glenn Beck was somebody that got a lot of press during the early Tea Party years as the person who sort of most channeled that particular energy within the conservative movement. But, by 2011 or 2012, he kind of flames out and then doesn't get as much attention anymore. Somebody like Ben Shapiro has gotten a lot of attention because he's younger, because he's in the podcasting space, because his politics are a little different version of right-wing politics. But he, too, will soon be eclipsed by whoever the latest big thing is. So it's very difficult in a crowded market for one person to have the kind of commanding presence that Limbaugh did when he had the whole market to himself.
Nikki Hemmer is a political historian. She stays with us as we talk about the influence of the late Rush Limbaugh and the influence conservative media have on American politics. I'm Keely Boltina, and there's room for you in our conversation. Do you think Donald Trump would have been elected president without the influence that Rush Limbaugh has on our culture? Do you think anyone will be able to fill the void in the conservative movement that Limbaugh left? 800-642-1234 as we have this discussion, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Thanks for being with us on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. It's probably been 25 years now, but I can remember this snapshot in time. It was a cold evening in the winter when you're extra aware that the sun goes down too early. I was riding in the car with my family, pulling up to the grocery store we called Verge's, because it's a small town and Verge owned the grocery store. It's stuffy in my winter gear with the heat running, and I can hear Rush Limbaugh's voice streaming through the radio. I had no real understanding of what he was talking about or who he was. But that mundane moment that happened countless times growing up, it's crystal clear in my mind even now. That's what conservative talk radio is for people across the country. It's part of everyday life. So was Limbaugh, right up until he died of cancer. And we're talking about conservative media with Nikki Hemmer. She's a political historian at Columbia University who specializes in media, conservatism, and the far right. And Nikki, help us understand the place in people's lives that conservative media, and specifically Rush Limbaugh, has found.
So he's been so important to the political identity of a generation, if not more, of conservatives. He really was somebody who had a loyal following, so much so that, you know, in those early days, there were these things at restaurants called Rush Rooms, which during the period in which his show was airing, the restaurant would just set aside a room and play Rush Limbaugh and let people listen together with their friends. Listeners to the show called themselves Ditto Heads because they would come on air and just agree with everything that Rush Limbaugh had just said. And you have heard this in the outpouring from conservatives in the last week or so, that there was a real emotional connection. And that emotional connection is driven not just by the habit of listening to him, but the medium of radio itself, right? There's a real intimacy to just hearing someone, and in the case of Rush Limbaugh, being able potentially to talk back to them through being able to call into the show. So there was a way in which he really bonded with his audience that created an affection and a set of political identities that have had a real power in American politics.
John from Clear Lake called, couldn't stay with us. John said that they occasionally listened to Rush Limbaugh, found him to be inaccurate and divisive, especially as he recently implied that people who have leftist views are bad people. And Rush's rise, it did coincide with an increase in misinformation and conspiracy theories. Nikki, how much is he responsible for that?
He's hugely responsible. It didn't just coincide with the rise of Rush Limbaugh, but Rush Limbaugh was a real driver of polarization and misinformation. I mean, during the Clinton years, he spread conspiracies about the Clintons having killed their close friend, Vince Foster, who had died by suicide. This anti-liberalism that the caller talks about, like sort of a reflexive, not just opposition, but real demeaning of liberals. There is not an attempt here to find a common ground. It is a show that is very much rooted in an us versus them identity. And that's really important because, you know, he's coming off of the Reagan administration. And I think that we could certainly argue that the Reagan administration was divisive, but Reagan himself was someone who liked to present himself as someone bringing together people, bringing Democrats into the Republican Party. And Limbaugh comes out with a much more negative, polarizing, kind of partisan approach to politics. And that's something we would see reflected in everyone from Newt Gingrich to Donald Trump.
Nikki Hemmer is a political historian at Columbia University, and we're talking about conservative media and politics. You still have time to join in if you call at 800-642-1234. That number again is 800-642-1234. Nikki, today marks the start of the annual Conservative Political Action Conference known as CPAC. And as we talk about political figures and political events, help us understand what this conference is.
So CPAC has been around for decades now. I think it got its start in the 1970s. And it's this annual convening of conservatives from around the country and a really great snapshot of where the conservative movement is at any given point in time. And I think this year, you know, it's flying under the banner of America Uncanceled. So there will be a real focus on what the right and others call cancel culture. So a real culture wars feel to it. It will be the first major appearance by Donald Trump since leaving the presidency. And it's also a good way to see where divisions in the party are as far as who's included and who's not. So you're not going to see, certainly not going to see any anti-Trump Republicans at this year's CPAC. They would not be invited.
Rush Limbaugh's been intimately linked to the Republican Party. He was named by the GOP an honorary member of Congress in 1994. His speech at CPAC in 2009 is cited all over the place even now. So what influences can we still expect to see at CPAC that really came from Limbaugh?
We will definitely see tributes to Limbaugh throughout this CPAC conference. But also, I think that 2009 speech is really important because he built on the theme that he wanted Barack Obama to fail. In years where there is a Democratic president, Rush Limbaugh was often pointed to as the leader of the opposition, the leader of the Republican Party. And so one of the things that we're going to see is who is that voice now? I mean, Donald Trump is obviously going to be the main contender for leader of the opposition going forward. But are there other people? And how are they talking about resistance to the Joe Biden presidency and opposition to the Joe Biden presidency? Because that kind of implacable opposition we saw during the Obama years was something that was shored up through conservative media throughout those years. And so we're likely to see some of the arguments about the Biden administration that we'll hear over the next 4 years being developed and being propagated at CPAC this year.
What are you expecting to hear from President Trump?
This is going to be a fascinating speech precisely because I don't think in the last 5 years we've had this long of a period that we've gone without hearing from Donald Trump. I expect that we will hear something about his plans for 2024. I think we will hear him sort of reasserting his position of leadership within the Republican Party and within the American right. And beyond that, it's hard to say exactly whether he will sound any different from what he sounded like prior to January 6th. I mean, one of the things that was true of the Trump presidency is people were always predicting that he was going to change in some fundamental way because of outside events. And of course, he never did. So I think we'll hear President Trump, former President Trump, as he always was.
As we talk about the conservative politics related to conservative media and Rush Limbaugh, we've got Marty from Eau Claire who's ready to join the conversation. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning. Yes, I was just I was listening and I was just appreciate your mentioning Rush Limbaugh because he's really not been even heard on the media about the loss that the conservative movement has in his life, his legacy. And I appreciated that. But then immediately there was a comment about his disseminating misinformation. And I was just really disappointed that here you went from a person who made an influence on millions and millions of people. And immediately you're calling him a liar and an agent of misinformation.
Yeah, Marty, I'm going to jump in here because I certainly want to clarify that because there's a big difference between news outlets and reporting facts and truth and spreading conspiracy theories, which Nikki Rush Limbaugh did.
He absolutely did. And especially in the past year, this has been an important part of his program, whether it was misinformation about the results of the 2020 election or about the pandemic. I mean, it's important to understand that, yes, there was a deep affection between Rush Limbaugh and his audience, but he was not somebody who felt constrained by the norms of journalism. And he was somebody who, as part of the conservative political apparatus, fed into much of the misinformation that we heard from President Trump as well.
And how do we begin to understand what the effect of misinformation, which is untruths told specifically to lead people astray from the facts, how do we gauge what effect that's actually had on the United States?
Well, I mean, one place that we can see it quite visibly, and people have talked about this a lot, has been in the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th. I mean, this was a violent moment that was constructed entirely on misinformation about the 2020 election and the idea that the 2020 election had been interfered with, that it had been stolen, that it was fraudulent. And it was that, what's been called the big lie, and I think appropriately so, that fueled that violent day. And so that's a very precise way. Of course, we can see it in all sorts of ways. People who still believe that Barack Obama was not born in the United States, this idea that the resistance to wearing masks during the pandemic. I mean, there are some very real and deadly effects to misinformation that have become very, very clear over the past year.
And we won't know the full extent of them for a long time.
That's exactly right. I mean, this is something that has become so corrosive to American democracy and to liberal democracy more broadly in a way that is really damaging in acute ways that we have seen. But if you think about the long-term erosion to democracy, this is something that we will be dealing with for generations.
Nikki, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nicole Hemmer is a political historian at Columbia University who specializes in media, conservatism, and the far right. Hemmer's author of Messengers of the Right, Conservative Media and the Transformation of American Politics, that was published by Penn Press in 2016. Up next is news. Then we talk with a pediatrician who found that schools were not a major point of transmission for the coronavirus in the central Wisconsin area. We're talking about that study. I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.